105 Drive with Julian Clover.
This is Cambridge 105.
I should welcome officially our guest now.
Top five, I see.
My star event, you see, it sort of even ascends even further than the number one spot. Because you're playing at Hot Numbers,
which is
a rather nice little coffee house and indeed growing music venue as well at the other end of Gwydir Street. And you'll be there this evening?
Yes, the doors are at 7. I'll be on from about 7:30. I think it's just me all night, really. So, you know, plenty of opportunity to see me at some point.
Yeah, no, that sounds pretty good. That's quite a coincidence, actually. Barabbas on Good Friday.
I'm Barabbas every day, but yeah.
I guess so, yes.
I had some angry tweets from some Christian groups this morning saying, how dare you use this name? I'm like, hang on, I've been using it for 10 years.
So, is it your real name, or...?
No, Louis is, but...
Louis is Barabbas came from...
more exciting for my real name, which I won't tell you.
Okay, well, I've made spot up on that too. We'll try and work out what that is. So tell us about your performance. What do you do?
I guess it's folk in that it's sort of reflecting human things and human problems. I tend to prance about quite a bit, though, because I get quite frustrated by watching bands who just sort of stand and look at their feet and sort of moan about being dumped at some point in their lives. So I try to sort of cherry pick the fun ones for live shows, and then the more sort of existential angsty ones for the records that people can sort of take home with them.
Folk music is normally like shipwrecks and that sort of thing.
Yeah, the new album I've got is called Gentle Songs of Ceaseless Horror, and it's all about sort of more mundane sort of tragedy, because I find that most folk stories have some sort of catastrophe or dramatic kind of twist, and so there's murders and there's sort of terrible accidents and plagues and things, whereas I think most people's lives, they tend to kind of veer towards the tragic in more sort of ordinary ways and sort of more mysterious ways. So most of the tragedy, it's not all bad, but most of it is sort of more about sort of everyday things. So.
Okay. Well, Lou, look, what we'll do, if you don't mind, we'll ask you to play a couple of songs. We have one now, then we'll do some travel and stuff, and we'll chat a bit more and ask you for another song on the other side of that.
I wasn't sure what I was going to play, but now, since I've mentioned tragedy, this one's about tragedy.
Good.
It's okay, I'll keep it light. This one's it's from a musical I'm writing, and I wanted to sort of early on sort of talk about the idea of tragedy being a contextual thing, that because we always put happy endings and things like weddings and stuff in Shakespeare plays, but life does carry on beyond the happy ending, so I thought I'd write something about that.
Okay.
And there's an after I have ever after, but if these events cause some offence, I won't say what that represents. I can't hear the jokes for all the laughter, but life's a picnic, life's a treat, and just when this life seems so sweet, you notice ants in the sugar bowl, the romance is getting cold, your worldview through a prism of endless euphemisms, and all the stories have been told, all the newfangles are getting old. Where will our lives spit us out? Can there really be any doubt that every tragedy begins with the happy ending? Every tragedy begins the same. Every tragedy begins with a happy ending, but they don't stay that way. And though our fates are known, that don't make it less certain. We're paying interest on all those happy moments that we stole, so stay at home, gently twitch the curtain. Oh, we got the perfect view to watch our shrinking futures and follow the rules right down to the letter. Oh, you think your love will grow, but it's already plateaued. And if your dreams come true, that means you should dream better. So dance like there's no yesterday. Dance all of those dreams away. And say every tragedy begins with a happy ending. Every tragedy begins the same. Every tragedy begins with a happy ending, but they don't stay that way. But they don't stay that way. Oh, coincidences and serendipity, providences all down to destiny. I'm convinced this will end up miserably now. Oh, don't scream, don't fuss, it's ever been thus. Line crossed, coin tossed, game lost. Because every tragedy begins with a happy ending. Every tragedy begins the same. Every tragedy begins with a happy ending. But they don't stay that way. But they don't stay that way. But they don't stay that way.
Enjoyed that. Very good.
Thank you.
Louis Barabbas playing live for us here in Gwydir Street. It's going to be at Hot Numbers at t'other end of the street a little later on this evening. We'll hear some more from Louis after the travel. It's 4:42.
On FM, online and DAB Digital Radio. Cambridge 105.
So my guest this afternoon is Louis Bourabas. He's done one song for us already, and hopefully he'll do another if I'm nice to him over the next little
like
while.
I've got all serious though. I went straight in with the tragedy, and
it was quite jolly. As tragedies go, it was
well,
quite
you've
jolly.
Well, you've got to look on the bright side, haven't you?
I guess so. So you're playing Hot Numbers tonight. Is this your life of wandering from coffee bar to bar?
Yeah, this is my 24th show out of 40 for this tour, and I've got two more in the UK, and then next week I go to Germany and Austria and Switzerland and Holland, and then I get to have some time off from May. But then I'm writing some music for a play up at the Lowry in Salford, so I'm going to sort of do that in between the gigs.
So how do you plan out a tour like that? Presumably you've chosen those countries with a specific reason in mind. Well, you've been there before?
Yes, last 5 years I've been touring, so at least once or twice a year in Germany, Austria and Switzerland. For some reason we've got a really good fan base in Austria. I'll be with my rock band, Venom 6, for those ones. And it's just really strange to places where people sort of pick up on you and to places that don't. And it actually took Britain a lot longer to sort of get interested in me, and they still haven't really. I mean, I'm still quite niche. but this tour's really nice because I've just been playing on my own, so I've been playing very small places where you can see everyone and there's nowhere to hide, and it's really, they're very intimate, so it's really enjoyable.
Do you think for your style of music it's important to have a connection with the audience?
I think so. I mean, I think it's important to get a connection however big the venue, but it is obviously harder when you've got sort of thousands of people and, you know, lots of lights on you and stuff.
Yes.
The little ones are nice because you can just go and plug sometimes and you can have little chats with people. I like to meet people afterwards, and I find the sort of rock and roll kind of cliches of one person being worshipped by, you know, several hundred people in front of them, is a bit weird and a bit anachronistic. I don't really know why it's so persevering, and I like the way that music can help you sort of break down the sort of barriers between people.
And how different is it your set with when you're with the band? Is it completely different, or just as an up tempo version of what we have?
It's a lot louder, really.
Right.
It's just trombone and piano, and there's loads of harmonies and stuff like that, but the songs, the themes are the same. They're still quite sort of bleak, but they're all quite upbeat and you know, so yeah, it's a lot of fun. People dance more at the live ones, at the band ones, but the solo ones are quite nice because you can kind of judge things and change things around a bit, and you can stop a song halfway through and tell a joke if you want. There's no one to sort of worry about.
You mentioned the new album.
Yeah, I just came out on Debt Records, and it's my first solo album. I mean, it's got other musicians on it, but it was quite a nice chance to have some more sparseness, because when you've got a 6-piece band, and everyone's kind of jostling for position. But it's going to be another band album in a few months' time, so it's not the end for that. But
And how much control do you have over that? Do you work with a producer, or do you produce yourself as well?
Yeah, well, the producer of this record was my bandmate from the Bedlam 6, Biff Roxby, who's also the guy who co-founded the label with me. So we know each other very well, and we spent the best part.
It's almost like a self-publishing thing, really.
Yeah, we're very DIY, and we've over the last few years, we've become more respectable in the North, and we sort of now get sort of commissioned to do various things. For a long time, we were just kind of the underground kind of, you know, sort of the naughty kids, I guess, in the Manchester music scene. But now we're more establishment, I think.
Yeah, and Lowry is a well-known name from the north of England. Immortalised, of course, by Brian and Michael with St Winifred School Choir, the only act ever to have a one-hit wonder twice. How did you get involved in that?
Well, Lowry, we do these things called the open recording sessions with the label, where we create a studio and everyone can kind of watch people make a record and they can join in. So we want just about trying to make the thing more transparent. So we got asked to do one at Lowry, and then another department at the Lowry who had up the production.
So this is the Lowry Museum
the
it's being done.
The theatre exhibition space. Massive sort of monstrosity. Well, it's beautiful, but it's you know, huge metal sort of strange thing.
I can get the impression that Lowry wouldn't have painted it himself.
Don't think so, no. But it's sort of modelled on a ship, apparently. But anyway, so one department was looking over the shoulder of the other department when I was at a meeting with them about the recording thing, and they said, oh, we'd like you to write some music for this play happening the other weekend. So I ended up sort of doing these two things sort of side by side, and it's all happening at the same time because I've got this tour and I've got a new band album as well, and all this and the musical I'm writing. So it's all kind of happening in a big sort of whirlwind, but I guess that's probably the best thing to do, otherwise you go a bit sort of, you stagnate, don't you?
Well, look, I'll ask you to do one more song before you leave us. So what's you going to do this time?
Okay, this one's a bit prettier, because I don't want to be all horrible. This one's another one from the musical. I've got this very bad habit of doing things from the next project rather than the thing I'm supposed to be promoting now. So the album has been out for about a month now, but I'm sort of done with that now. So I'm doing this musical, and this is where the main character, she's singing her newly born infant son to sleep in a song about responsibility and how you don't have any just yet. If you sleep, if you sleep, don't dream. And if you dream, dream one little thing for me. Not wars, nor glory or applause, There'll be time for these, of course, but for now, dream little things. Just shrink the world to a single bed. Let the thoughts that swirl round your head all slow, slow, slow. 'Cause one day, bigger things will get in the way, and you'll find they're here to stay. You've no more time for little things. And you will learn, you will ponder and discern, and the world will turn and turn and take you far, far away from me. And you may laugh, you may someday think I'm daft, but the memories you'll soon have will someday take my place, you'll see. So before your past accumulates, while you've still so few yesterdays to pull you down, don't fret, don't frown, don't feel regret. Nothing matters much just yet, so enjoy the little things. And when the sun yawns and draws down the blinds, don't you dare grow up during the night. 'Cause you've no words to absorb all that occurs. There's no need to feel disturbed while you're still.
Louis Barabbas, thank you very much. What time do you start at Hot Numbers tonight?
About 7:30, I think.
7:30, okay. That's a good place to spend a Friday evening. Thanks very much for coming in. Sorry. And also to Robert Louis for bringing you along as well.